Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. Oh, I bet.
Amazing way. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, well, we know what that means, don't we? It means you're a highly intelligent individual. An extremely discerning person, seeking only the best, seeking excellence. If you're here listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, that's exactly what that means. And I'm excited about having Mike Menzies back on the show with us. Mike is a longtime member of our Brain Trust and a banker, which as you know, if you're like me, you love your banker. I love my bankers. I love all bankers. Because I don't know where I would be without my bankers. And Mike's the president of Eastern Bank and Trust in beautiful Eastern Maryland. He's our good friend. Hi, Mike.
Hey, James. How are you today?
Doing great. It's good to have you back.
Thank you, sir. Good to be back.
How are things on the Eastern Shore?
You know, this is the most special time of the year for the Eastern Shore of Maryland because we have everything at the same time. We have rockfish that
is
migrating.
Is that legal, Mike?
Oh, yeah. Darn right.
To have everything at once?
How's that song go? You can't have too much fun. We have rockfish that are migrating out of the bay but still available.
What does a rockfish taste like?
Rockfish is the striped bass.
Yeah, okay.
And then we still have crabs in the pots.
Really?
And oysters are in now, so we have oysters. And we have geese and ducks, so it just doesn't get any better than that.
It's like a dream come true, isn't it, Mike?
It really is, yeah.
Well, now the crabs, yeah. You don't eat the jennies, right, in Maryland?
You don't eat the sooks.
The sooks.
The sooks are the females. Those
yep.
Buddy Virginians, they eat the sooks.
They eat
we
the
don't. Yeah, we only eat the jimmies, the boys.
The jimmies, yeah.
Yeah. But it's as good as it gets on the Eastern Shore of Maryland.
Well, you know, I was in Georgetown not too long ago, and I ordered some crab. And I asked the waiter if it was a jimmy or a sook, and the guy hit me with the menu. He didn't.
Yeah, slapped you.
So I'm not gonna try that. I said, well, Mike said it would be okay to ask. Of course, I was a little closer to Virginia than to Maryland. I think there.
I bet. Yeah.
In Washington D.C. Mike, what's the news with small businesses and banks these days? Interest rates are going up. Inflation is creeping up. Gas prices, even though they've come down, are still way too high. And especially if we're driving diesel, if we've got diesel trucks on the road, we haven't had any abatement hardly at all on diesel fuel. This is starting to be a little bit of a challenging time for small businesses, isn't it?
Absolutely. There's no question it's a challenging time. It's a opportunity to prove your ability to manage a balance sheet and to manage margins. Classically, in a rising rate market, the challenge that small business faces is an inability to pass on new costs and additional costs to their customers. The good news is that consumption remains pretty bloody strong, at least in the Mid-Atlantic area. And in our neck of the woods, Maryland and Virginia and the Mid-Atlantic in general, D.C., has an incredibly healthy economy. Unemployment is extremely low. I think I heard yesterday Virginia's down about 1.9%.
What? Virginia's yeah. Unemployment is less than 2%?
Yeah, it's just something ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
And so...
Well, Maryland, I was just in Garrett County, Maryland, which, as you know, is the
right.
Is the extreme western little weird little part of Maryland over there all by itself. I was over there about a month ago, and I talked to the lieutenant governor while I was over there.
Mm-hmm.
He said their unemployment rate was like 4.2 or something in the state of Maryland.
Yes, which is fantastic. And lieutenant.
Well,
the national
average is 5%.
Yes. Yeah. So, but again, it's an average. So,
yeah.
Lieutenant Governor Steele, hopefully soon to be Senator Steele,
yeah.
has done a great job, along with Governor Ehrlich, of getting our economy rolling, and they are very much focused on finding a way to support business and to help reduce government burden on business, and that's proven successful. There's no doubt about it. But back to your original question, it's time for small businesses to look hard at managing their balance sheet and figuring out how they can, how they can maintain margin. And the two ways to maintain margin are to increase your revenues by passing on the expenses that you can pass on to your customers, and to hold the expense line as best you can. And so it just plain requires more management skill in this environment than it may have in a declining rate environment.
And both of those things, passing on the increases takes talent, and managing the expenses takes discipline, and maybe looking at things a little bit differently than you have in the past. And we're going to get Michael to help us with that when we come back after these messages. Mike Menzies is our guest. He's the president of Eastern Bank and Trust, a wonderful little community bank over in Eastern Maryland. I'm Jim Blassingame. It's 2012. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Mr. Robert Cray, ladies and gentlemen.
And I'll have to stay strong.
One of the best blues men in the world.
Right,
I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. I'm not a blues man, but I like it. I like the blues, especially when you hear that kind of quality. Mike Menzies likes the blues, too. He's a good guy, and but he's the guy. He's one of these guys, folks, that helps small business owners not have the blues. He's a banker, and he helps them accomplish their goals and follow their dreams and make it happen. And Mike, as a banker over the years, I know you've presided over, or I should say, you've been involved in your share of deals that didn't go together. But it's got to make you feel great when somebody, you know, really does well and their business just clicks and takes off and it's a great success story. And you remember when they came to you and they said, Mike, I got an idea.
Well, that's probably the primary reward of this business is watching people take a concept and turn it into something that forms wealth. And watch them leave it to generations in the future. I mean, that's truly the great opportunity of the American economy. It's to take an idea and allow you to make money. But before we went off the air, James, you were talking about what small businesses might be able to do
right.
to deal with margin and to protect margin. And the very
one of which today is primarily being able to pass along, as you said,
yeah.
pass along those increases. And that's not easy to do, is it?
Well, it's never easy, but it's no different than any other time, which is first acknowledging that you're in business for the purpose of making money, that your value proposition as a small business probably is not a high-volume, low-margin, commodity-type mm-hmm. world. You're probably in a relationship service kind of a world if you're really making serious money in small business. And what happens in that environment is that your energy goes into delivering your value proposition, meaning service. Your energy goes into taking care of customers and dealing with their needs and delivering to them and that sort of thing. And not enough energy often, too often, goes into really understanding your numbers, really understanding your expenses, taking time not every 6 months but every week to look at your real hard expenses. You were talking about gas prices and inflation
mm-hmm.
and other things going up. And what happens is it's out of sight and out of mind. We've got enough cash in the checkbook to pay the bills right now, but we haven't done serious expense analysis. And that's got to be done in order to rationalize ratcheting your prices up.
And the only way to do that is if you've got a regular handle on your numbers, on the
yep.
money that's coming in and the money that's going out. And if you don't, then basically you're driving 100 miles an hour down the wrong way down a one-way street in the fog.
Yeah, you don't know where you're going. And the old saying, if you don't know where you're going, it doesn't matter how you get there.
But any road will take you there. That's right.
That's exactly right. The other thing that small businesses can do that I have many customers doing on a regular basis is their own form of what I call correlation, or what is called correlation analysis. And correlation analysis, very simply, is taking your financial statement, your P&L, your income categories and your expense categories, and lining them up side by side on different marking periods, can be daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, and comparing those expenses as a percentage of revenues every marking period, and watching the relationship between your expenses and your revenues intensely. So if you have a business that is in fact energy sensitive, if you're in the lawn cutting business or some
right.
such thing,
or you've got trucks really on the road,
you can look at this stuff and you can call your customer up and say, hey, look, Charlie, I hate to tell you, but my fuel costs have gone up 40%, and my fuel costs represent 20% of my total operating expense. So mm-hmm. I've got to bump it.
Or how about this, Mike? This is another thing. If you got trucks on the road, mm-hmm. and your customers are, you've spoiled your customers by delivering things to them every day, and what if you called your customer and said, you know what, you know what's happening with fuel, and I'd like to hold my prices down so I don't have to give you a price increase. Why don't you and I get together? Let's let your purchasing agent and my shipping folks or whatever get together. And see how we can schedule what you need so that we deliver three times a week instead of five times a week.
Well, those are extremely good thoughts, and you're drifting into the logic of doing strategic thinking, of figuring out strategically how you and your vendors and your customers can accomplish your mutual objectives and your mutual profitability. Obviously,
see, this gets to the point, Mike, that I try to talk about all the time on this show, and that is, you need to make your customers into partners.
Yes,
or you
exactly.
need to be their partner and let them be your partner. But that takes training, doesn't it?
It does work in business. Unfortunately, it doesn't work in politics. There is no such thing.
That's
but
right.
in business, it does work. There are, you know, we consider ourselves to be a partner with our small business customers. And when that partnership relationship erodes, we know we have a problem. There's a loss of trust, or there's a loss of information, or there's a loss of confidence. And if you keep those components of the relationship going, then you produce win-win solutions.
Well, what I worry about for small business owners is they get confused about what's the best kind of service. The best kind of service that you give to your customers, and I know all of you want to give your customers excellent customer service, but the best kind of service is the kind that you can keep giving, that you actually have the ability to continue.
Yeah.
And if 5 days a week won't allow you to continue it, then that's not good service. And
yes.
so it's bad service if you go out of business.
That's
break,
right.
Quick break, right back with Mike Menzies, our resident banker in the Brain Trust. He's with Eastern Bank and Trust in Easton, Maryland. I'm Jim Blassingame, 10 Till. Stay with us. Welcome back. A little Chicago for you there. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate, and we're rocking and rolling with our good friend Mike Menzies. You didn't know a banker could rock and roll, did you? Well, Mike can. He's a major rocker, and he's the president of Eastern Bank and Trust in Eastern Maryland. And Mike, give us that website.
Oh, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
EastonBankAndTrust.com. That's all
not,
spelled out.
EastonBankAndTrust.com. It's not your grandfather's bank website,
that's
folks.
Right. Yep, and you will not see a picture of me.
Was that a shot, Mike? I think that was a shot.
No.
Mike, the thank you for helping us previously in the previous segments to get a better handle on the revenue side, the margin side, I should say, and the expense side. Don't you think a lot of small business owners are afraid to raise prices because they're so worried that any kind of an increase at all will upset their customers?
Absolutely. I think all of us are. I think there's no one who's in in the economy who isn't concerned about the negative consequences of increasing price, and we just got to get over
but we're,
it.
But we're more vulnerable, though, Mike.
small businesses
are more vulnerable.
Yeah, and unlike a bank, small businesses can't hedge as effectively as a bank can hedge.
Or the big company.
Or the big guys, yeah, and I'm sensitive to that. And what it means is that small businesses will have periods of time where they make lots of money and periods of time where they may not be making money. Mm-hmm. And they need to understand that happens.
And the transition between those two times is when they learn about cash flow, isn't it?
Yeah, and in that regard, when they go through transitionary economies, it's so important to be able to go into your banker and say, hey, look, Charlie, we're going to be tight on cash flow for the next 6 months, and we need to work with you. We need you to work with us. So that term loan that's paying $1,000 a month, maybe we need to go interest only for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Or that working capital line of credit that I usually clean up in entirety in the month of January, I may not be able to clean it up this year.
I'm sure what you would like to see, if you're the banker on that end of the other end of that transaction, is a financial explanation. All right, here's where we've been. Here's where we are now. Here's what I think is going to be happening. And here's what the money that I'm asking you to abate a little bit, the cash flow I'm asking you to abate for me for 6 months. Here's what it's going to mean to my business. You can see it right here on my cash flow line, and you can see how it's being used.
Well, above all, what we want is the customer to come in and say, this is what could occur in the future. Nothing is more difficult than when the customer comes in and says, let me tell you what happened to me last year.
Mm-hmm.
And that also happens. I mean, customers will come in and say, you know, I thought I was making money, but I didn't. I lost money, and I borrowed money on my line of credit to carry myself, and I'm in the hole, and I need to turn the line of credit into a term loan, and I need a new line of credit so I can go into business next year. What bankers want is for that customer to come in and say, look, this is what could happen over the next 6 to 12 months, and I need you with me. And then the customer causes the banker to take ownership mm-hmm. of the challenges of that business.
Right.
And that's what a small business wants. It wants a banker who takes some ownership. That's the key part of that partnership. The banker feels an ownership obligation.
Mike, in my new book, 3 Minutes to Success,
mm-hmm.
in the acknowledgments page,
yeah,
I thanked my banker.
There you go.
Including the name of the bank. And,
wonderful.
And how many books do you see where the acknowledgments page, the banker gets thanked? That didn't happen too often, I don't think. But our banker is our best friend, as I know you are to so many small businesses over there in the Eastern Shore. And you know, Mike, I tell small business owners all the time, if your banker isn't your best friend, and if you think you're capable of being a friend to a banker, and your banker still isn't, you need to find another banker.
Well, you know, there's no doubt that you have to have a synergistic relationship with your banker and with your accountant and your lawyer and your others too,
and your radio and your small business radio host.
Yeah,
that guy too. Hey, Mike, give us that website again.
It's EastonBankAndTrust.com.
It's a great website, folks.
Yeah, there you go.
How long has that website been up there? A couple of years now?
I think because of you. I mean, it wouldn't be there if you hadn't intimidated us. I mean.
Hey, thanks, Mike. Good job today.
Good to be with you as
Hope
always.
You have a happy holiday, sir.
Okay, Jim.
Mike Menzies, ladies and gentlemen. You know he's the best. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I got to go, but just for this hour, we got one more hour to go after these messages and the news. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.